This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, and I'm reading from the New International Version. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
In the novel The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins lives a quiet and peaceful life in his comfortable hole at Bag End. That is until an old wizard called Gandalf persuades him to set out on a quest. The quest is to reclaim dwarf treasure, which a strong and wicked and greedy dragon called Smaug has stolen some 150 years previously. After many, many adventures, Bilbo creeps into the heart of Lonely Mountain, which is where the dragon guards his gold. Bilbo steals a cup, which enrages the dragon. And when Bilbo returns to the cave for something called the Arkenstone, the dragon is waiting for him. This sly dragon is vain and devious and clever, but as he and Bilbo speak, the dragon lets something slip. He has a weak spot in his scaly skin. A thrush, overhearing this information, passes it on to a master archer called Bard, who lives in nearby Lake Town. When the furious dragon swoops over Lake Town, intent on destroying it with his fiery breath, Bard, who owns a single magical black arrow, is ready. His aim is true. He fires it into Smaug's heart and brings the dragon down. Hurrah! The war against the dragon is won. And this plot line is at the heart of Christianity. A man called John, who'd been exiled to the Greek island of Patmos, had a vision from God where he visualizes Satan as a great, fiery, seven-headed and ten-horned red dragon. It's in Revelation 12 if you want to look it up. In this vision, John sees a pregnant woman and the dragon is present at the birth of her child. The dragon is preparing to destroy the baby the moment he's born, but the dragon fails. And so this red dragon, or Satan if you prefer, failing to destroy Jesus at his first coming, does everything he can to hinder Jesus through his life on earth. But this sly, vain, devious and clever red dragon, or Satan if you prefer, has a weak spot. God's love for the world. God's love for the whole of humanity displayed in Jesus' death on the cross. This is like Bard's black arrow. When Jesus died for your sins and for mine, bringing about a new relationship with God, the red dragon, or Satan if you prefer, failed in his mission and he was brought down. Now in The Hobbit, Smaug dies immediately. The red dragon of the Bible is down, but he's not yet fully dead. He's been defeated, but not yet completely destroyed. He's like a wounded and a cornered animal, desperately thrashing around with one single aim: to bring as many people down with him before his own final destruction. One theologian puts it this way: the end is in sight, and those who endure to the end will be victorious, even if in the meantime they become victims. Now, this is tough teaching if you're in a difficult and dark place, as I know some of us are. It's scary feeling the dragon's fiery breath on the back of our neck, and it hurts when we receive a thwack of his vicious tail. But can I encourage you today? The Bible insists that we are watching a battle being won, not lost. And we aren't defenseless as we observe. God has given us armour to put on so that we can take our stand against the red dragon's schemes. Our armour is the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And God's deep and all-consuming love is our constant protection and inspiration when we suffer red dragon activity in our lives. For those of you who have read The Hobbit or watched the film, you'll know that as Bard puts the arrow into his bow, he says this: "Black arrow, I have saved you to the last. You have never failed me, and I've always recovered you. I had you from my father and he from old. If ever you came from the forges of the true king under the mountain, go now and speed well." And our declaration over God's black arrow as we put it in our bow is what Gina has read today. We are more than conquerors because of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we face opposition, when we face temptation, when we face tragedy and frustration, when we face the red dragon's havoc in our lives, just as Bard had faith in his black arrow, we can have faith in ours. God's declaration of our security and his sure and certain love. Now, the phrase "more than conquerors" is one word in the Bible. The middle part of the word means to overcome, and the first part means over and above. And this means we're no ordinary conquerors or overcomers. Because of what Jesus has done, this is an absolute conquest. No matter what the circumstances or situations we face, God will keep us secure in his great love. And Paul, in this passage of scripture, wants us to understand that we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. The inhabitants of Lake Town in The Hobbit lived in fear of Smaug. They faced death all day long. And Paul tells us that we aren't to live life like that. We're to learn how to use the black arrow of God's love. Learn how to trust it. Learn how to live in the assurance and the security that Jesus sealed when he went to the cross. Even when this dying red dragon threatens our peace or our purpose or our well-being and our experience of God's love over our lives. And we do this by focusing on God's word. We do this by reading what's in the Bible. We do this by reading the promises of God and holding on to them come what may. A few years ago, I challenged God over the promise in the Message paraphrase of Matthew 11, which says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And at the time, my life was really rubbish. There was no part of that promise which matched the situation I was in. And as I lifted it to God, he gave me a picture of hope. And I had to hold on to that picture for quite a few years. In the bleakest of my moments, I would remind him of that picture. And in doing so, it reminded me that God had the situation in hand. And I learned what it meant. I experienced what it meant to live as a more than conqueror, one skirmish at a time. The trouble is, this dying red dragon gets into our hearts, it gets into our minds, it messes with our lives in every way he can. His sole mission is to cause us to forget the black arrow in our hand. His purpose is to make us forget that we live in the promise of the very weapon which brought the dragon down. Instead of us living lives defined by who we are in Jesus, he wants us to believe that we're defined by the circumstances of the day. Now today, I want you to hear this truth. What we focus on, we empower. So if we focus on our past or current mistakes, we empower feelings of failure and shame. We empower self-hate. We empower self-harm. We empower the sly taunt of the red dragon who says, "How can somebody love someone? How can God love someone like you?" If we focus on the avoidance of suffering and hardship, if we focus on trying to live an easy life, we empower emotional, mental, and spiritual fragility. We empower denial. And we empower the deceitful lies of the red dragon. "You're not really tough enough for this fight. Hide away and keep your head down." Well, how about this focus? If we focus on the pursuit of wealth or happiness, success and power, we empower disappointment when life doesn't live up to our expectation. We empower discouragement. We empower dissatisfaction. And we empower complaint. And we empower the cunning question of the red dragon. God isn't really living up to his promises, is he? When we focus on when and how we've been hurt, we empower revenge, we empower anger, we empower bitterness. We empower a very smug red dragon who smirks, "Why not let them say sorry first?" If we focus on our insecurities, we empower negativity in our lives. We empower self-doubt. We empower frustration. We empower a red dragon who whispers, "You'll never amount to very much." If we focus on ungodly things, we empower ungodliness in our lives. If we focus on negative things, we empower negativity in our lives. And when we empower our material desires or our own internal critical voice, we empower the red dragon who quite simply says, "Amen." So my question today is, who are we empowering in our lives? You see, God's black arrow declares that we have the victory in Christ, whether life is going well or whether we feel as though we've fallen into a deep, dark pit. What the red dragon means for evil in our lives, God will use for good, because God uses these attacks to work in us an even greater testimony of the power of his love. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to empower in us today. So every time we forgive somebody, we live as a more than conqueror. Every time we confess our sins and move on from our mistakes, we live as a more than conqueror. Every time we trust in the promise of God rather than what the world around us has got to say, we live as a more than conqueror. Every time we take God at his word rather than listen to our doubts, we live as a more than conqueror. We become more than conquerors one battle at a time. Paul teaches the secret of victory. It's to believe in the overwhelming power of God's love, absolutely. So let's take a moment and think before God about what we are empowering in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we want to come before you today and we want to lift our lives again to you. We want to stand in the power of your love, which has defeated the red dragon. Lord, we want to stand in the knowledge and the understanding that while he might be thrashing around in the final throes of his life, your love is greater. It's stronger. It's more powerful than anything the red dragon can do. But God, you know today, some of us are battered. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are lonely. Some of us are struggling. And God, today we need a fresh experience of what it means to stand in your love. God, we need to feel your love. We need to rediscover your promises. We need to refocus on you. I wonder today whether you might take a moment to reflect on what it is you're empowering in your life. Let's confess those things to God that are not empowering his love, his life in your life. God, we lift before you those negative things that empower the work of the red dragon rather than enable us to live in the freedom of your love and the direction of our life that your Holy Spirit is leading us in. God, might we know that we are a forgiven people. We are a people that have been set free through your blood. And we are a people who have a purpose, a future that was bought and paid for by your death and your resurrection. God, might we know that in debt and in sadness, in addiction and in disappointment, in frustrations and in moments of desperation, Lord, might we know in depression and in other forms of ill health, none of these circumstances or situations can separate us from your great love. Amen.